Solomon was kind of wrapping up Ecclesiastes, because that's what we're doing. One more week, and then Ecclesiastes is done. But you know, when you talk about wrap, I always think of presents. And I just always remember I went to this sermon once, and it was near the beginning of my Christian walk. And he was giving a wonderful sermon. And all of a sudden, this person came up. It was a man. He was just kind of shabby, but he had this beautifully wrapped gift in his hand. And he came up, and he tried to give it to the minister. And the minister said, no, not now. I can't do that. I'm in the middle of my sermon. And so, just maybe 5 minutes later, he came up again. I was feeling so sorry for this man because the minister again refused the gift, and he tried it one more time. Of course, in the end, this was all part of the ploy. Not that I knew it. I was traumatized. The gift that he was trying to give was the gift of Jesus, and the fact that sometimes we're just far too busy in our lives to accept Jesus, take time for him, include him in our lives. And what amazes me is 1,000 years almost before Jesus was born, we have this man, this king, Solomon, who was the wisest king ever to live, given the wisdom by God, is almost telling us the same thing. He is saying that the gift is the gift of God, who gives us life. We're supposed to enjoy it each day. Look at each day as an adventure, but whatever you do in life, make sure you include God. He has had the experience of letting that go. He has had the pain of knowing what it's like not to have God in his life as he did things. And now he is warning everybody and encouraging everybody to please include God. Don't drift away from him. In our little car, we have a little Miata. And it has the license plates YLUCAN. And that says, while you can. So Solomon says, enjoy life while you can with God. Let's open our word in prayer and see what God is saying to you. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we go through this life, we do get very busy. We do forget to include you sometimes, but help us to open our eyes and our ears and listen to what you have to say to us through these wise words of Solomon, who's experienced life and wants us just to understand how important it is to include you in each part of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we go through adventuresome, this first part of Ecclesiastes 11 is telling us to live life adventurously, which is fun, but did you know that there was that was going to entail a little bit of danger and maybe just an unknown risk? Because according to the dictionary, it says, being an undertaking or experience usually involving danger or unknown risk. And you know what that means? That means you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone if you want to live this adventuresome life. And it seems that for Solomon, who was an adventuresome young man at one time, the Old Testament, if you kind of understand a little bit about the business of it, the businessmen didn't really have the luxury like of our internet and email and everything that we can use today that would help sell their products. So when the crop was ready to take to the local markets, the farmer would gather his grain, and if there wasn't enough place to sell his grain at the markets, he would go to the merchant of the seas, the ships, and he would put his grain on these ships, and the ships would go to different ports to be able to be sold. Now, if you only chose one ship and go to one port, that's just kind of a hit and miss, kind of, isn't it? And so, diversify. He went for a fleet of ships, and he would put his grain on many different ships, and they would go to all sorts of different places. Now, that's risk-taking, because you've got the oceans, you've got the weather, you've got some ships that are going to get lost at sea. Not everything's going to come back to you, but there will be eventually some reward come back to you in your sales. And we know that Solomon experienced this because in 1 Kings 10:22 it says the king had a fleet of trading ships. So he's done this. He did it. And this whole little, in the first two verses, Solomon is using a proverb, and these proverbs are where how he teaches. Jesus used to teach in parables, and Solomon likes proverbs. And so we're going to read it. It's verse 1 and 2, and it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to 7, yes, to 8, for you do not know what may come upon the land." Now, New Living Testament saying, "Send across the seas, and in time prophets will flow back to you," which kind of defines the whole idea of this fleet of ships that are going. But when you read that, that's fine. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean? What is this whole thing talking about? We don't have a fleet of ships, do we? But we do have that God-given body that God has given us. And he also has given us talents. He's given us gifts. He's given us finances. He's given us food. And you know what? If above all you're having a you don't feel you have any of that, he has given you love. And this is what they are saying. Take all this, disperse it among people, throw it out here, there, everywhere. Don't just hoard on to these wonderful things that God has given you. And you know, sometimes we think we don't have anything. That's not true. That is just the enemy kind of telling you, oh, you know, don't do that. They're not going to want to hear from you. There's so many ways that he can get at us so that we say, okay, I'm not going to do it right now. I'll do it later. And that's not a good idea, according to Solomon, because we better live life adventurously right now. And if you have the opportunity anywhere, step out, even if the conditions don't look good. That's okay, because God's going to take care of that, and he is going to be in control. You'll have a reward eventually. I like the little saying they had here. It's a motto. It's not a good motto to follow. Please don't follow this motto. It says, "Get all you can all you get, then sit on the can." And you know, sometimes that's it. We have all these wonderful things we can share, but we hoard it because we're a little bit afraid to let it go, and we sit on it. Pardon me? I can repeat that. Get all you can all you get, then sit on the can. You know, it's a little bit like that parable talking about, like, Proverbs and parables here. But remember, Jesus told the parable about the rich man, and he had all this grain, and he kept bringing it in, and he had all these barns, and finally the barns got full. And so he says, what am I going to do with this? Don't even think about sharing it. So he built another barn to put it in. Little did he know that God was going to take his life that night. So it ended up not doing him any good at all. So we just have to grasp at each opportunity that we can possibly have. It's unfortunately, when you think of the ships or whatever, I mean, disaster comes, and in our lives, as we're trying to live our lives, it's inevitable that we are going to have challenges. And no matter how much we try to avoid them, they are going to be there. I love the little story about this man in Belfast. Well, I shouldn't say I love it, because it's really not a very happy ending. But he is in the time when the Catholics and the Protestants were really fighting with each other. And it was quite dangerous at one point to be out on the streets. And so he was coming home one night, and it was kind of late, and he was hoping that nobody would attack him. So as he was walking along, suddenly the shadow came out of nowhere and grabbed him, had a knife right at his throat, and a voice said, "Catholic or Protestant?" And so this man, in his mind, in a panic, said, "Well, if I say Catholic, I know very well that's it. If I say Protestant, I know very well that's it." So he had an idea, and he said, "I'm a Jew." And then the assailant laughed out loud, and he said, "Ha! I am the luckiest Arab terrorist in Belfast." So, you know, it's a funny little joke, but at the same time, no matter how much we try to avoid difficulties in our life, they're going to come. They're going to come, and that's where Solomon is kind of constantly saying now, is to keep God in your life, take the challenges, go out there, and you will succeed. Prophets will flow back to you. And he really wants to enforce that. So not only does he talk about merchants on but he brings farmers into it also. And with the farmers, he has got, he put farmers second, and I kind of wonder if it was because they have a double amount of adventuresome in their life. Because not only do they have to get their grain on the ships, right? But they also have to plant. Now, you take a farmer, he's not going to be looking up at the clouds and deciding, oh, well, there's the sunshine today, maybe I'll go out. He has to sow those seeds when it's time. He can't depend on the weather to be perfect. So out he goes, and he sows generously to get his grains, and he just has to take with whatever the weather gives him. And it just makes it, in here they have the clouds, the rain, the fallen trees, the wind. The farmer has absolutely no control over anything. He has to move out and do it, and then he has to get his grain sold. Reading from the Testament, Solomon says, when clouds are heavy, the rains come down. Whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. Isn't that sad, eh? So if we wait for perfect conditions, we're not going to be able to do anything for anybody. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning. Keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Spread out again whatever you have to offer to as many people as you can. I like the idea of the clouds with the heavy rain in it, because you see, when the rain pours down, it makes things grow. Obviously, this year we've had a lot of floods. Maybe not just within certain reasons, but normally the rain comes, makes everything grow. The clouds are empty, but off they go, and they get more clouds that come up from the seas, and back they go in somewhere else. And this is kind of depicting a little bit of what our life should be like also. God gives us the blessings. We're the cloud. We rain upon as many people as we can, pouring out God's love. And then when we feel empty, oh boy, those days come, don't you? Just empty. But that's the time when God fills you back up again with all his blessings. We get over that little hurdle, and on we go again, and we reach out and we bless other people. And this is the way that Solomon is encouraging us to go through life. And I really like his little message in here too. Don't worry about those things we can't do anything about. How many spend time doing that? I love creeping into tomorrow. I just think there might be something I should worry about tomorrow, today. But you know what? You try hard to keep yourself in today. And that's what Solomon's saying. And he says here, you can't understand the activity, God. You have no idea what he's doing with you in his life. But man, does he have a plan for each and every one of you. And it's a special plan. So don't crawl in a corner somewhere and not let him work through you. Sometimes when we just get in that little rut where we say, oh, I can't do it. It's not the right time. I don't feel right. You know, we had a whole list of things. I think we could probably write a novel of 3,000 pages why we should not do something. And this is getting us into a rut. And then we get stuck in that rut, and we can't get out. I was reading, I don't know where it came from, but it was really quite cute. It's a road sign on the Alaskan Highway. Whether it's still there or not, I don't know. But it says, choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 200 miles. That sounds like a long trip. And that's what happens with life. You get caught in a rut, and you're in it for a long, long time. And it's just hard to get out of it. And it's much better to take Solomon's advice and get out there and do something with your life. Don't waste it. Don't get in that. Ever get in that woe is me or a little bit of doubt coming in there? We have to try different things. It's okay to do that. You know what? When they throw the bread on the water, they don't all come back perfect, do they? Sometimes we fail. We tried something. Oh, that didn't work. But that doesn't matter. You've learned an experience from there. And then you go on and you try something else. And you keep trying. And you never know when you're blessing someone. I just find it sometimes that you don't get a thank you sometimes. I mean, depending on what you're doing in life. Sometimes you'll do, well, that didn't work out very well. And no one said thanks you, and you think, that, well, that was the worst thing you ever spent your time on. But you know what? God is a God who sees. And that's exciting, because whatever we do, we're not doing it for man, are we? Or woman. I mean, man is a very general term. It means man and woman. We're doing it for God. And He sees everything in our life. He knows what we feel. And this is where we get our reward. Not that thank you from man, but that whole blessing that comes from God. And of course, Solomon saying all this, he keeps coming back to this. You know, have you ever had something that you really want someone to make sure they take very special care of? I don't know, like a stop sign, telling your kids, make sure you stop at the stop sign with your bicycle. And then they go out the next day and you say the same thing over and over and over again. Why make a point? Well, Solomon wants to make a point. He wants you to enjoy life. I like that. I think that's a wonderful way to go through it. Do you know that this is the sixth time in Ecclesiastes that Solomon says, enjoy life. I'm not going to take time to read them all, but it goes over and over again as you can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction. And happy, enjoy yourselves, recommend having fun. I think these are good recommendations for us. And then we come to Ecclesiastes today, which is 11, verse 7 to 9. And it starts off by saying, light is sweet. You know, like you wake up in the morning and you can still see, and it's a brand new day. But there's another very interesting little twist that I found, I thought was really neat, because they said light in the Bible is often used for the love and the warmth of God. Isn't that true? And so when you wake up in the morning, not only do you see with your eyes, but you have this amazing love of God, and He just wraps His arms around you, and He stays with you during the day. Don't ignore that. And if you're feeling, you wake up and you don't feel anybody's there, you just try praying, and you'll find that those arms just wrap around a little bit tighter. So to continue on, though, we have the light here, but it says, how pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice. That's a good idea. In every day of life. But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want. Take all. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy. Remember that youth, with a whole life before you, is meaningless. Wrapped up again. Meaningless if you don't have God in your life. Man, He keeps coming back and back to this, doesn't He? He's saying each day is special, to live it to the best of your ability. But He's also now giving another little bit of information. You know, it's not just for youth. I don't care. I mean, sometimes we just get mischievous, don't we? And we start going off in different directions because He's saying, having fun doesn't mean to party hardy, alrighty? It doesn't mean to go wild oats. Remember the prodigal son? He did a really good job of that, actually. He warns the youth, and he's warning us that one day we are going to meet God, and we are going to be judged for everything. So enjoy life with God, physically, morally, and spiritually honoring God. Doesn't mean we can't have fun. But those are kind of the brackets we have to keep our enjoyment and our fun under. So stay firm and don't be misled. There's one thing I wanted to clarify just a little bit in there. It says anxiety, worry, and I also in the the ESV translation, it uses the word remove vexation from your heart. And I'm thinking of teenagers and young people, and vexation is actually the Hebrew term, is a combination of two words, of anger and resentment. All right, think of a teenager. Oy, think of anybody, I guess, really. Anger and resentment equals rebellion, doesn't it? This is where their frustrations build up, and then they want to rebel, they want to get away, they want to do their own thing. And this is where Solomon did that. He had this wonderful, beautiful gift of God, and then he moved away from that, and he started doing his own thing. And in this, he knows the emptiness of that, so he says, put it away. It's not the way you should be going. And he also says in it about putting away the pain from your body, and the pain from your body when you're a youth. He might have touched many of these areas, not drugs necessarily, but this is an issue that's going to be coming up more and more, isn't it, as we legalize marijuana. This is drugs, alcohol, tobacco. I mean, there's things that can just destroy their life, and he's saying, put away the... Because these things bring health issues, don't they? Eventually, they do. Need to put God in your life, and he'll guide you. And that's where I put down that Matthew 6:33, because it just keeps coming back, and that seek first the kingdom of God, then all the other things will fall into place. He will guide you and direct you. So we have another. Don't let the excitement of youth let you forget. Don't let it forget your Creator. He's got back at it again. Same message. Are you starting to get this message? I tell you, it's there, and I have to find that during the week as I was preparing, or in week, months, as I was preparing this, I had to remind myself over and over again also, remember your Creator. You're not doing this for anybody, but you're doing it for God. That's where you're doing it for. And now Solomon is just not sure everybody's getting the picture. So he kind of puts a little bit of shock mode in on his. I think it's a little bit of a shock mode. I guess it depends on where you are in life. I remember when I was in elementary school, we were in Montreal, and we lived not far from a railroad track, and I guess there was issues. I don't know. I was really young. I wasn't very old. And they had this movie, and the movie showed what would happen if you disobeyed the laws and went down to that railroad track and went near a train. It was traumatizing, absolutely. I don't go near train tracks anymore, even now. And you know, it really made a point. It certainly did. Not the right way, I don't think. And of course, what Solomon is doing, what he is trying to convince everybody of right now, I had a choice. I could either obey the rules or not. But inevitably, everyone's going to get old. And when you're young, you don't really think you're ever going to get there. But he is now writing a beautiful quotation mark, poetic prose about what it's like to get old. Actually, Solomon, he is quite a poet, really, and he wrote the Song of Songs, and they call the Song of Songs the most explicit statements of love and sex in the Bible. According to God, according to his you know, the priorities of getting married, etc. That's how his words, they were so profound. They were beautiful words. In fact, even the royal wedding, they quoted from the Song of Solomon's. And so he had this amazing ability to use a pen and describe a picture. He's probably in his late 70s right now. He's experienced a lot of this stuff that is coming up, and he has not lost his unique ability to create a picture with his pen and his hand and his mind. And he talks about old age and refers to it like an aging house, a deteriorating house. So I'm going to read the poem to you, and this is all to tell people where you're going to get to, and make sure that you live life to the fullest before you get there and before you don't have any more time. Here we go. You got to look at it as beautiful, remember? Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed, when the sound of grinding fades, when men raise up at the sound of the birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer is stirred. The man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the well broken at the well. And the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Cheery? Did you like that poem? You see, Solomon kind of takes it, and he starts by describing kind of the mental aging. That's the first part. He talks about the sun, the light, the moon, the stars, the darkening. Did you hear all that in there? And this can kind of describe, so they say, is the mental dullness and depression that comes with old age. And the cloudy weather is just an aged mind. Then, from the mental side, he goes to the deterioration of the physical body. And this is where he uses that house image. And just so that it helps you maybe understand the poem a little bit, let me tell you that the keepers of the house, that's your arms and hands that eventually tremble. And then the strong man, we are built with two legs that are called the strong men, and they will weaken as age goes on. Where we used to run and jump and play, Solomon is saying, you're not going to do that anymore. And then you're going to start to stoop also because your legs aren't carrying you the way you should be. Oh, and don't forget the grinding ones. That's your teeth, because there's going to be few. And I know we have wonderful things to fix our teeth, but I don't think Solomon did in those days. And then we're losing. Look through the windows. That's your eyes. Your eyes are going to start getting dim. You won't be able to focus as crisp. And you know those doors that he talked about that are shut? That's your hearing. And he's saying that, what'd you say? That's heard a lot now. That's your hearing going. And then arising to the sound of the bird. This was interesting, because you know what? Every little sound, as the birds, well, now that's maybe not true because some of those crows can be very loud, but some of the birds are very quiet. The littlest sound can wake you up, and then you can't get back to sleep again. And then the songs grow faint. Our voice doesn't sing like it used to sing, and if you never sang, that's okay. Your voice just changes as it goes on. Men afraid of high places and terrors on the road. As you get older, you start worrying more and more and more about things, about maybe your family. I should maybe check on you to see where you are. How come you're not back? And it gets worse as time goes on. So it was almond blossom trees. That's just, I guess they're just beautiful to see. It's a silver gray color. Guess what that is? That's our hair, but unless you cover it up, but that's the hair. And then grasshopper drags himself along. It says, takes longer to go anywhere we want to go. Everything you do, everything is done, just takes longer, slow movement. And it's interesting. A good old Solomon. Remember how many wives and concubines he had? At the very end of all his list of aging, he finally comes out with the fact that the berry, what's the berry called again? It is called a caper berry. I didn't know it was supposed to help with the sexual desire. But that doesn't even work anymore. Sexually impotent. For Solomon, that must have been absolutely horrendous. But this is the last thing that he has on his list, and then until the death. And this is where he also describes the death. There's a few symptoms of death, because he's got the silver cord, which is the cord of life, and if that cord is severed, then death comes. Then he's got the golden which represents the brain. Wouldn't it be fun to say, well, how are you feeling? Well, my golden bowl isn't very good today. That would be it. Then it's the human brain, and a broken brain is obviously not good. And then you have the pitcher and also the wheel at the well. These represents the heart slowing down and not pumping like it used to, and the circulatory system starts to fail. That circulatory system starts to fail. Well, that is death that has come into it. So that is a very descriptive description of old age. And Solomon wants to make sure that everybody lives to their fullest with God in their life. When he ends with life is meaningless, yes, if you don't have God in there. And when you get to this old age, that doesn't mean that it's all sad, because with God in your life, he helps you through it. He guides you, he directs you, he encourages you. It's not the end of the end. And when you do have death, that's a beautiful door that opens up into this wonderful eternity that we are going to spend with God. I think Solomon is a pretty amazing poet. I'm sure he gets that. I would like to have read that poem when I was having my parents were older and I was younger. They were 40 when they had me. So when they were quite old, I was at the time when I was raising our children, and it was busy. And I didn't understand their perspective, their point of view. It's like, you know, before you have children, you say, oh, I'm never going to let my children do that. And then not long after, you have children, and you're letting your children do that. And it's the same with you. I would love to have been, like, now, how I can identify with how they were feeling. But that wasn't it. And I'm just reading this and studying this, I can really see how Solomon is really encouraging everybody. Just live your life adventurously. You know, I just want to quickly here go over the application. He's got some really good stuff in here. I've been trying hard to my life. Maybe 20%, but keep working at it. Isn't that right? So we have the words from the wisest king ever. Ready? First of all, be generous. Share what you got. Second of all, release your problems we can't change to God. It's like that fallen tree. God will take care of it, but you've got to release it. And third, try different things. Don't get stuck in that rut. Make sure you would be adventuresome, all right? And then learning to enjoy each day, no matter what challenges come our way. And even in those mundane things, I was getting ready. We were having a birthday party for my daughter, and the day before I was getting everything ready. And you know, it's a lot of work sometimes when you have around people coming over. And it's not a lot of people, I guess, but I was doing my thing, chopping vegetables and finding it very boring and mundane. I looked up out of the window, and it's like God says, look. And there on our bird bath was a cat sitting on the top of the bird bath having a drink of water. Well, that was exciting. So then I tried the celery and I started chopping it up a little bit. It was getting a bit up again. And there were two robins in the same bird bath, and they were having a riot with their little wings and splashing the water. You know, even when we're doing mundane things, God is there, and he gives these little tidbits, and he gives us little rainbows, and keep going, and then, you know what, you get over that mundane. The next day we had the party, and it was like throwing bread on the water. There was all these people, and everybody reaped the benefits of the celery. So it really is ongoing that we need to keep remembering that Solomon's wise words. And I'm going to close. You're lucky. This is the last one before the summer holiday. Well, last time I can make you sing. But there is a beautiful song, and it almost describes a little bit what Solomon's saying. We have the Lord Jesus in our life. How blessed we are. He had God, which was a blessing also. And this is where he wants you to place him in the center of your life. And this is what the song says, but it uses Jesus, but Jesus is God. And then, remember Solomon talked about not worrying about how that baby is formed in the mother's womb? But when that baby was born, beautiful, beautiful, simple rewards come from holding that baby. Now, it's not necessarily a baby. You could take that to many different things of your life, but don't look for the dramatic. Remember to enjoy the simple. And then the last verse is about leaving this world and going to be with God. And that's where kind of Solomon was taking us a little bit today, wasn't he? So we're going to sing, and I know we've done it before, but it just seemed just so beautiful because he lives. How do you like my big... He lives. I had no idea how to get rid of that. So the big because he lives is there. And the words, God sent his son, called him Jesus. Can I just ask if anybody who knows? All right. Well, if you don't, fake it, all right? It is a beautiful song. It really is. I know it will. You'll be blessed by it. Ooh. Ready? God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there before my Savior. All right. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds future. With the living, just because He lives to hold. All right. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life worth the living, just because He lives. Gives wet tree, mother. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Beautiful, very nice. And just remember, as you go through the summer, you still have one more week next week, but as you go through the summer, on those days that are difficult, you know you can face tomorrow because He lives. God bless.